This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All right, welcome in, everyone. It is the Bob Pompeiani Show. I'm behind the mic. It's Billy Steinbach, Jr., a.k.a. Did I call you Junior? I just did, didn't I? The third. Which number are you? The third, right?
Yeah, the third.
The third Billy Steinbach. And you're carrying on the tradition very well, might I add.
Well, thank you.
Steiny the third, a.k.a. Pomp Jr., is behind the glass there. Call me, 412-928-9370. He'll be the first man you talk to, and that is also the number of the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. It's 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. You can locate this station on Twitter at 93.7TheFan as well. That's driven by Shorkey, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Our show is brought to you in part by Allegheny Health Network, health for all. PNC Bank, make today the day. Number one, Cochran, go one better. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. We want your calls, and this is the time to do it. What a busy weekend it's going to be. It's Super Bowl weekend. It's been kind of watered down a little bit with all the tragic news concerning Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others on that helicopter crash that we saw last Sunday. And certainly tributes all throughout the sports world. And last night, the Lakers, after postponing a game against the Clippers on Tuesday, which was a little bit too soon for everyone, they had a very moving tribute pregame and also at halftime last night, where Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth put together a wonderful rendition of their song in memory of Kobe Bryant. And I'm sure that they're going to do a lot more as time goes on, but this was the first step in that direction. And I thought the Lakers handled it very well, a very emotional time for everyone involved. And anytime you lose somebody, especially that tragically, it certainly resonates. We'll also talk about the Super Bowl, which, of course, is going to be played tomorrow. And it's, to me, it's going to be one of the more exciting Super Bowls that I think we're going to see in recent time. Two really good teams. I think the best of the AFC and the best of the NFC. I don't think you can really doubt that. Whether Andy Reid gets a Super Bowl ring as a head coach, it's the first time for him, I think, legitimately since his Eagle days. He's not done one. He's the winningest coach not to have a Super Bowl ring. I think sentimentality-wise, a lot of people want Andy Reid to win, and they probably like Pat Mahomes, too. I think he is just a tremendous player and seems to be a tremendous person, too. So people will be rooting for Kansas City also because they don't want another one for San Francisco, I'm sure, around here, as the Niners are in that situation where they can move up the list with the Steelers and Patriots. So San Francisco is my pick, however. I'm just going to throw it out there right now. I like their run game. I like what they're being able to do. Jimmy Garoppolo has not done all that much in the postseason because he hasn't had to do much. I think a run game is something that works well in playoff time, as does a good defense. San Francisco has both of those things. I like the way they get after the quarterback. Now, Pat Mahomes has that ability to change things with his feet, and he can keep plays alive, and he can do some damage to you that way. So they better make sure they stay in their lanes, conceal him or control him as they can. And, you know, bottom line is I think they can get and put some pressure on him. They did it with Aaron Rodgers two weeks ago. And I thought that was going to be a hard game for San Francisco. Turned out to be rather easy. So I like the Niners in this game. I think it'll be, in the 20s as far as the points are concerned. And I think it'll be under the overall point spread total of over and under, which is, I think, 54. That's just my take. What's yours? 412-928-9370. I'll take those as we go along. Also want to talk about the Penguins, and I want to spend a lot of time on them today, and I hope to get some calls here on what Jim Rutherford should do, what he will do. He was on this week with Cook and Joe on the Cook and Joe Show, very candid, as he always is. And he brought up the situation moving forward about how costly it's going to be to keep two goaltenders in Tristan Jarry and Matt Murray. Right now it's Jarry. I know people in the media, a lot of them were shocked that Murray didn't start last night. I think Mike Sullivan sees a lot of Tristan Jarry that he believes is something that he saw in Matt Murray when he first came up. And last night, late in the game, Tristan Jarry certainly validated Sullivan's belief in him with some really good saves. Late in, Kevin Hayes had a great opportunity down the pike, right in the middle, center ice, couldn't score. I also thought they had some intense pressure at times in the third period where they carried the play to the Penguins, and Jarry turned them all aside, which allowed them to get the first point, and then they won it in overtime with Crosby. But what do you do as far as goaltenders? I'm of the belief you keep everyone. You don't trade anyone. And I believe that through this season. They're both going to be restricted free agents. There may be a time with another draft coming up, an expansion draft I'm talking about in Seattle, that they do something with Matt Murray if they believe Jarry is the man in the future. He was drafted to be that guy. And quite frankly, Tristan Jarry is the kind of makeup that I like in a goaltender. There was some talk in the preseason that he might be traded, and Rutherford explained himself on the Cook and Joe Show where he said basically, well, he wouldn't be doing his job if he didn't listen, but the return was going to be a big one if anyone wanted him, and nobody met what Jim Rutherford wanted, so there was no trade. I understand that. Rutherford's good about listening to everybody. But I think both guys are necessary as they move into the playoffs. I'm not sure how Jarry will respond to playoffs. You don't know because he's never been there. Tomorrow's a very interesting game. They got the Capitals. It's the first time they'll be playing them all season long, which is rather strange. We're into February. But that intensifies the rivalry because they're going to see each other four times in the next 2 months. Same is true of Carolina. And these points are big points. I thought the Flyers showed that they really have a good discipline system with Alain Vigneault and Michael Therrien and Mike Yeo behind the bench, those three guys. They're disciplined kind of guys, and they play systematically better than I've seen Flyer teams play. But they are missing some pieces that they need. Carter Hart, their goaltender, is one of them. Bottom line is, these games with Washington and Carolina will dictate who wins this metropolitan division. The other thing it indicates to me is that he believes Tristan Jarry is going to be a better option in goal when it comes to puck handling, which is something that Matt Murray doesn't do all that well. So we've talked about this in the past, how that's an asset. And I agree that it's probably in a bigger asset against teams that like to really pound you, like Washington does, like Boston does, St. Louis's of the world. Those teams come after you in a forecheck and they can cause some problems. Having a goaltender who can move the puck quickly is a nice asset to have. But Jarry's never played against the Caps. We'll see what happens tomorrow when he does. I expect him to start. I'd be surprised if he went back to Matt Murray. But moving forward, that's going to be a costly decision for the Penguins to make, both with Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry. The other thing is, Jim Rutherford, you know he's going to make a trade at some point. He believes this team is capable of winning. He made that clear. He talked about his offseason needs. He talked about what he needed to see from this team as a galvanized group, which is something he did not see last year. He thought it lacked continuity, a chemistry. That's why he made some of the deals he made, and I think they've paid off for him so far. He's also got young kids coming up playing really hard for him, a lot of energy. I think that helps. But they also, with Jake Guentzel's injury, need somebody who can put the puck in the net on a reliable basis. In the playoffs, you got to have that one extra guy, perhaps, who can win a game with one shot, one opportunity. Now I'm starting to sound like Eminem. But the point is, they lost that guy with Jake Guentzel. Jake Guentzel's out, so they need somebody else. Brian Rust has filled in admirably. He has been on the power play, something he's never done before. He's moved around from left to right wing. He's got 22 goals. He got another big one last night. This is a guy who has really seized the opportunity. But without Guentzel, Galchenyuk hasn't done it. On a consistent basis, who else will do it aside from guys like Crosby and Malkin? They need another guy. And that then leads me to think, what do you offer up? And I'd like to hear what you have to think out there at 412-928-9370. What would you offer up to get a guy I like. And Chris Kreider's name's mentioned. Chris Kreider is a guy who I like a lot. He is a rental, more so than a guy who's signed. I'm a big Mike Hoffman fan. I like him down in Miami. Florida Panthers. So I think if it's attainable, I would go after a guy like that. You know, the Panthers are a good young team, young players. Bob Roski's not been what they bargained for, but they have a young kid named Spencer Knight who they drafted, and they believe he can be a franchise goaltender. But they need defensive help. So Justin Schultz is going to be a restricted free agent. And I'm just curious about Justin Schultz. If you had an opportunity to trade him to get another scorer, would you do it? Or do you believe you need as many good defensemen as you can over the course of a long two-month playoff haul? 412-928-9370 is that number. So if you have a reaction to that, or if you have a trade proposal, or if you have someone you are targeting out there, let me know who it might be. But I do think the Penguins still need one of those guys. You can never have enough of them in the postseason. And the power play is still going to be the big thing with them. Their power play has gotten better. They were 2-for-2 last night. They need to make sure in the playoffs that they convert on those opportunities. That sets the Penguins apart. But 5-on-5 play, I got to see somebody who could put the puck in the net, which is why, you know, Kessel, during their two runs to win cups, was so big. Kessel kind of sleepwalks through a lot of the season. But when you need him to score a big goal, he seems to do it. And I think that's what Arizona was counting on. He's not been that good for them, but Galchenyuk has not been that good for the Penguins as well. Another reason why I would look for somebody else. If Galchenyuk had done what I think they expected him to do, I think you wouldn't see the need necessarily to do it. But I do see a need, and I do think they need to make a trade. 412-928-9370. We'll talk about that. Anything else is good with me until 1 o'clock here at Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. And we have an update coming up at 11:20. I also want to tell you about PNC Bank, which is committed to all those who are rooting for the home team. You know, with PNC Virtual Wallet, you're going to get a breakdown of your budget. You're going to see how much is scheduled out for bills. You're going to see how much is left to spend. So you'll know when it's time to buy tickets to the big game. You'll have money available because of the opportunity to save the way PNC Virtual Wallet gives you that. You can learn more at pnc.com/virtualwallet. PNC Bank, I always tell you, make today the day, and this is the day you should, because Virtual Wallet is a difference maker in the money game. It's a registered trademark of PNC Financial Services Group. 2020, the PNC Financial Services Group, all rights reserved, and PNC Bank, National Association member, FDIC. All right, we're back with more right here. 412-928-9370, our show sponsored by Allegheny Health Network, Health for All. PNC Bank, make today the day. Number one, Cochran, go one better. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, and Ireland Contracting. Visit IrelandContracting.com. They are the title sponsors of the Nightly Sports Call. Hope you checked out Pittsburgh CW. We have a brand new set down there. We're calling it the Fan Cave. Want more of your calls every night at 10:35 on Pittsburgh CW. Right now we're taking calls here at 412-928-9370. John and Beaver joins us right now. Hello, John. How are you today?
Yeah, Bob, good morning. Bob, the problem I have with the Marte trade is they have absolutely nothing at catching. Stallings is a backup. Dalton Varsho was one of their top four prospects. 300 hitter at double A, 18 home runs. That should have been a no-brainer. You've got to have him as part of the deal. He's a double A catcher with power. Very good prospect. Why was he not part of this deal? I don't understand.
Well, they obviously didn't want to get rid of him, you know. And
well, yeah, but they should have demanded it, though, as I'm saying. I mean,
well,
they need a catcher.
I am a little confused by the Marte trade, John, having found out some other reports that the Pirates had, and these are according to national writers who I think are well chronicled in how, you know, how they do business, that the Pirates had looked to both the Mets and Padres, and they wanted current players who were on the roster who are players. You know, Manuel Margot was a target, apparently, according to reports, national reports, and San Diego said no. So while the Pirates came out talking about this is a trade for young kids and a high ceiling down the road, their original intent, if these reports are true, is that's not the way they intended to go. They wanted to get somebody right now who could come in and play. So that makes me wonder, what is the direction they're headed? What truly is the direction? They don't like to use the word rebuild. In fact, yesterday, Andrew Filippone was telling me that Ben Cherington was on Sirius Baseball Network and basically got annoyed with a question about a rebuild. He's tired of answering it. Well, what exactly are they doing? Because the facts are these, John. Starling Marte is their highest-paid player. Starling Marte is probably their best player, and they traded him. So if your plan is not to rebuild, then what is your plan? And I would have waited. I'm also, this goes back 2 years to me. I would have not just come to the conclusion I got to keep trading guys who get close to making a little bit more money that I'm uncomfortable with playing. I want to build around them. I still want to do what they should have done in 2015. I don't like sacrificing seasons. My thing is, you know, as someone who's covered sports for almost four decades, you as a longtime fan, I'm sure, you're tired of saying, wait for 3 years, for 4 years. Do you know how much the landscape can change in 3 or 4 years, John? Do you know how many people aren't going to be here in 3 or 4 years, John? You know, so my point is, what's the point? That's my point.
I agree with you. What I'm saying is, if you want to trade prospects, at least get somebody close to being major league ready instead of 4 years away. The two 19-year-old kids may have a high upside, but they're risk and gambles. And you're basically going to have four next 4 years of 90 to 100 losses, and maybe these guys will pan out. And that's just very risky.
Yeah, it is. And high ceiling guys, I know. Thank you for the call, John. I realize you have to sometimes, you know, if you're going to go there, that may be a better option than some guy who's 27 already playing. But again, I don't like selling this whole notion that the season is, and the truth be told, they can tell you differently, but it is a sacrificial season. That's the way I look at it. And to me, the root of this all goes back to the lack of a floor cap situation. I've been saying this for over a decade. I'm tired of talking about it because it's an unequal situation, but the league is not going to change it because teams that are at the bottom feeders here, they're getting fed and they like being fed. The revenue money and everything that comes with Major League Baseball. It doesn't put any pressure on you to sign anyone. You can do what you want. And I think that's where it all starts. So if you're the Pirates, you don't have to do anything. If there's a floor of $120 million, and Bob Nightingale has been a national writer who's on this, and I agree. Filippone also brought it up on our sports call the other night, and I agree with it. You gotta at least start with a floor. Make everyone spend. But for that to happen, everyone has to be in on it, and the top-level teams don't want to do it. I'm late. I got to go to a break. But hang on, Jim. You'll be coming up when we come back. We got lines open at 412-928-9370. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. And it is Super Bowl weekend. The big game going to be played tomorrow in Miami. And quite frankly, I like San Francisco. What's your take at 412-928-9370? Another thing that came out of that Super Bowl week, and Deion Sanders, once again, very critical of the Hall of Fame. He thinks it's inviting too many people in, people who don't necessarily deserve it. So if you go back and look, there have been 56 classes in the NFL. They started to do this in 1963. Only 326 guys are in. That is a very small percentage. And Deion Sanders can say whatever he wants to say, but bottom line was, tackling was not his strength. If you're going to criticize people for getting in for whatever reason you want to point to, Deion Sanders was a tremendous cover corner, no doubt, with flash and dash, but he didn't want to get involved in the physical part of the game. He shied away from it. So I say stay in your lane. You're in. You don't need to voice this. And who are you specifically targeting? Is it Eli Manning? Okay, fine. You have a problem with that? Come out and say his name if you did. Whatever the case may be, that's a very small percentage of people who've ever played the game since 1963. Think about it. 412-928-9370. Barry in Munhall is up next. What's up, Barry? How you doing?
Hey, Bob. How are you, buddy?
Good. Show. You too.
I'm hoping the microwave song gets done soon because I've been waiting, but I heard nothing.
Don't hold your breath here. I was trying to incorporate a rap version to it, and I can't figure it out. I need some help that way. But
I know you will, buddy. Hey, but the Pirate situation. Now we're starting to hear that he might move the team to Nashville. You know, go ahead. I mean, it's Pittsburghers.
Whoa, Barry. You don't want to lose a team.
Yeah, but
the last thing you want is that to happen, and I don't want that. I'm a baseball fan. What I want to see is a system whereby they have to be, faced with making signings because there's a floor. You know, make everyone spend the same amount of money, minimum. And then if you want to go higher, fine, you don't have to go all the way to the top cap, but you should have a floor. It's not that hard. This is the only sport that does it this way. And it's just, it allows teams to make excuses for not spending. And I don't like that, but I don't want them to leave. I love baseball. I think the Pirates have a rich history here and I want it to continue.
But the thing with, with the Pirates, like they make a bad trade with Archer, like Jim Rutherford, if he makes a bad trade, you'll end up getting rid of the guy and move on. You know, you can make mistakes, but don't just keep pounding a square peg into a round hole. I mean, you know, it was just a bad trade and move on from it. But I just think that the owner's just not too interested in winning, and it's terrible for the fans in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's interesting that I think, and this is just my take on this, Barry, but I think, you know, Bob Nutting originally came out with a vote of confidence for Neil Huntington. I don't think he wanted to do what he ended up doing, but it just seems to me that there was enough pressure that he felt he had to do something. So he went out and he got rid of the entire management team, brought in a new team, and maybe he felt that was going to be enough to satisfy people, that I'm making a change. But the you know, the business of putting together a roster seems to have remained the same. Now, I say that only after just a little bit of movement here by Ben Cherington. I'm willing to give him time to do what he has to do. But I want to know what they're doing, you know. He seems to be annoyed by calling it a rebuild. I don't know. It looks like a rebuild to me. When you trade your best and highest paid player, that doesn't sound like you're trying to build now. At least to me it doesn't.
Exactly. Hey, is Cabrera still on the team?
No.
I haven't heard nothing about him.
No.
He was a good guy off the bench.
Yeah, well, they tried to trade him last year to get something, and they couldn't get anything for him either. So, all right, Matt, thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go to John in the car. Hello, John in the car. How are you?
Off. What's cracking, man?
You know. Where are you going?
I know. Another day, right?
Another day.
I'll run an errand.
Okay.
Hey, I was listening to you guys in the afternoon this past week talking about the pace of play and how they're trying to shave time off. And I really think if you think like 20 years from now, between the way the generations are changing, young kids aren't getting into baseball unless they have a reason to. What's a young guy in Pittsburgh, you say, 10, 11, 12? Well, I mean, I had the Barry Bonds era, you know, the Jim Leland era when I was a kid, and that got me into baseball. But, you know, you got a slow playing game that is getting slower, yet your local team is the laughing stock of the league where there's other teams that have 90% of the payroll in one guy. So is it possible that baseball could kind of die off in Pittsburgh?
I don't think so. I think the fan base, there's still a good one here that wants to see, you know, success. But they don't want to wait once every how many years to see it. I think, you know, you owe it to them to try to be competitive year in and year out. That's my only ask. If it doesn't happen, fine. But the intent should be to build a team that every year has a chance to compete. Now, it's harder in this system. When you don't have a salary cap, it's much easier when you're the Penguins or the Steelers and you know exactly you have to spend this much and here it is. This is what it is, and everyone's the same. It makes it really difficult, which is why baseball does not recognize this as an unhealthy trait, and it is. It's an unhealthy trait by far to me.
Very unhealthy.
But it only affects so many teams, and those teams seem to be okay with the way it's going. And to me, I'd stand up against it if I could and get some people to help me. Say, look, this is not good for us. We need to change the system, but no one's willing to do that because they all make money. So
you got to put a floor in, and it's just it has to happen. You got to make them compete.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, you can tell me that you're trying and you're bringing in guys, but I want to see evidence of that, and I haven't so far. Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. Ernest Massa on Twitter says Marte is not a guy to build around. All right, Ernie, that may be true, but he's still is your best player. And I thought 2 years ago they had enough here where they could have added to it. And I still think you can go out and not now. I think it's kind of late in the proceedings, but they weren't going to build around the core that was here. And I think you need to do that every year. I think you have to spend and go out and look in free agency for options. Look at what Cincinnati's done this year. They haven't done it in many years, but this year they decided because the owner came out and said, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of not having a team that's competitive. So I'm going to go out now. Will he spend his money correctly? We'll find out. Did he make the right moves? We'll find out, but he was willing to do it. And I'm not saying spend $200 million. What I want to see is people being brought in who are legitimate options to help them try to win right now. That's all I want to see. There are a lot of talented guys on their pitching staff, but will they all be able to attain what you want them to attain? Can Trevor Williams get back to what he, you know, 1 year you thought he was? Can Joe Musgrove handle more of a load? There's no Jameson Taillon this year. Can Chad Kuhl come back from not pitching since June of 2018 to be a contributor? You know, can Chris Archer be the guy that they thought they got And he hasn't been up to that. Still with the stuff, he just hasn't been the consistent pitcher he once was early in his career with Tampa Bay. These are all questions that need to be answered. But if you don't add to that group, if they all answer negatively, you're in big trouble. That's my point. 412-928-9370. Rich is in Forest Hills, and he's on the fan right now. What's up, Rich?
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going well. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I think the Archer trade underscores the exact point of how you have to get it exactly right. You have to win every trade if you're going to be in this no floor, no ceiling environment. You know, it just doesn't seem like a Huntington thing to do. It looks to me, it always sounded to me like it was a Coonley thing to do. He gave up way too much for something that an asset that would have been available to any other team in the league. And it turned out the Pirates were bidding against themselves. I don't know if you remember the run-up to that trade, but, you know, the Yankees said, you know, the guy's lost something. He's not worth pursuing. The Red Sox said the same thing. I don't know whether any of this stuff is true or gamesmanship, but I bet if you could find out with certainty, I bet this was a Coonley trade. And I'm not a Huntington apologist, but, you know, to be a general manager in this kind of environment, the pressure that's on you to every pick's got to work, every trade's got to work, you know, every nuance of how the game's to be played with the shifts and you know, you're devoting your minor league system to finding people that can play three positions. I mean, all this yeah. stuff is just so bizarre, you know, and it obligates you to just weirdness, you know.
Right, as your original point was, Rich, thank you very much for the call, because I got to go to a break here. But your call is spot on in that when you're in this situation, you can't afford to have a bad trade, because if you do, it sets you back many, many years. And that's what I don't like about the system. If they're going to continue this way, then you're going to have the haves and the have-nots continue to separate themselves even wider. That doesn't mean money can guarantee you a win. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is it does guarantee you a better opportunity each and every year to win a division or to get to a playoff. And that cannot be disputed. Ernest Masses, again, back on Twitter, says, small markets have small windows in MLB. This isn't the NBA, NHL, or NFL. So why isn't it, Ernie? Why can't they have a new system in place? I know what it's going to take, and it's hard to get everyone to agree to it. Players are certainly not interested. Make them interested. Make them understand. You know, and if it's painful to get to that point, maybe they need to go in that direction. But if you're looking at everything is healthy and television ratings are good, okay, fine. But small market teams only exist in leagues that don't have salary caps. There is no small market in the NFL. There is no small market in the NHL. They're all the same. Only in baseball is there a small market. And that's a term that allows for teams not to spend. That's been my point all along. 412-928-9370. We'll have more calls coming up all the way to 1 o'clock. Your take is welcome here. Call and air your opinions. And right now I want to air some words about Shendorovich, and Fishman, because these guys want to make a difference in your life. If you're ever in a situation where you need help, and man, things happen in life. You know that. You get a curveball once in a while, since we're talking about baseball, and all of a sudden you need some legal representation. Well, these guys are the guys to call. Shendorovich and Shendorovich Fishman, their fee is only 25%. Other firms will charge you as much as 40%. The difference between 40% and 25% is big, real big. It's almost half your settlement. For example, on $1 million settlement, well, you're going to get $150,000 more than you would with other firms. And that's how it should be. It's your money. They handle these accidents, truck accidents, car accidents, work accidents, dog bites, all accidents involving serious injury and death. And there's never a fee unless they win, and they win. Their number, easy to remember, it's 1-888-98-TWINS. Don't pay other firms 40%, almost half your settlement. These guys represent you for 25%, and they do it well. Shendorovich, and Fishman, they've got your back, not your wallet. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Our show brought to you by the good people of Allegheny Health Network, health for all. PNC Bank, make today the day. Number one Cochran, always in style. Number one Cochran, go one better. Shendorovich, and Fishman. They protect the program. Ireland Contracting. Visit IrelandContracting.com. Nightly sports call every night. Pittsburgh CW 1035. Another big day at the Super Bowl, and this one regards who will get into the Hall of Fame. We already know Bill Cowher and Donnie Schell, part of the Centennial class, who will join them modern day? And to me, it's a slam dunk for Troy Polamalu. To me, it should be a slam dunk by now for Alan Faneca. Both will eventually be there. Why not now? 412-928-9370. Charles joins us in Chicago with a thought on that. What's up, Charles? How are you?
Bob, I feel like it's been a long time. Missed you on the air the last couple of weekends. I know there's some basketball games going on, but glad to call back in again.
Sure.
Hope you're having
appreciate
a great Super Bowl weekend start. Thank you. I just want to say real quick before I get into my topic, I just wanted to say one last thing with Troy. I have confidence he will get in today, though. But then again, nothing, if there's one thing for sure, nothing's for sure. But he checks every box. I mean, with the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowls, the All-Pros, he's got just as much as anybody. And he's got Defensive Player of the Year, which no one else has. So I like his chances, but we'll see. But with that being said, I noticed, too, since this last decade, with the passing of, like, Ed and Steve Sable, the father and son of NFL films, with all their documentaries, they're in the Hall of Fame as contributors. And I had this one name as an idea. I want to hear what you think of this guy, if possibly they would open the door for him, and he would be in Canton one day. I'll talk about the one and only legendary ESPN NFL primetime and also anchor on SportsCenter here and there. And not only that, he's the master of ceremonies for the Hall of Fame. Talk about none other than Chris Berman. What do you think about him possibly being in there?
Well, they have a separate
one day.
Yeah, they have a separate thing for that. And guys who have made it, I believe it's a separate entity. They're not even listed as contributors. They have their own wing, you know, with regard to broadcasters or writers or people of that nature. But with regard to Troy, I mean, I don't know what more people have to even talk about. The fact that you got to go in there and argue for him makes me wonder. Now, his statistics are not going to measure up to Ed Reed, but I think if you watch every single game that the guy plays, you realize what a difference maker he was. And Tom Brady came out this week and pretty much said so. He said he's the one guy that you never know how to prepare for. To me, that sounds like a unique individual who was capable of changing games, and he did. Plus, he has a Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL under his belt. He's got 8 Pro Bowls, and he's got 2 championships. Again, in 12 years, I don't know how much more you could have packed into that career. So that should be easy. The Faneca one makes me nervous here because I think he deserves to be in. I think his numbers, in some respects, are even better than Troy's. I know you can't compare safeties to guards, but as far as getting into the Hall of Fame, as far as All-Pro, he had more All-Pro first-team designations than Troy even did. So, you know, they only have so many places to put in, and Deion Sanders probably doesn't want anyone in. So, you know, there you go.
Well, I want to ask you, and this will be my last thing, I'll let you go. I will just say this. You know, like how in baseball, when they have, like, their Hall of Fame voting, I think to be on the ballot, isn't it, like, 10 years for, like, baseball players? And if that's the case, what is it for pro football?
Well, you got to wait 5 years. Until you mean how long you're on the ballot?
That's what I'm saying, yes. Because I think, like, you know, guys like Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, they got 2 more years.
Right.
For it to be on the ballot for 10 years. So what's the cutoff time where you'd be put like in this modern, like in these like legendary ballots though? Because for like, I know this year was a centennial class. And lastly, who are you taking a Super Bowl tomorrow between the Chiefs stars? Bob, thanks always for
having me. All right, thanks, Charles.
And, great.
I like San Francisco. I just think they have a better complete team. Defensively, running the football, those to me work well in big games, and I think that is the case. Here's another interesting question we threw out on our number one Cochran Sports Showdown last week. Antonio Brown, who's busy trying to apologize his way back into the good graces of the NFL, and I don't think ever will get there, he's going to eventually be eligible for Hall of Fame enshrinement. That seems to be a really interesting debate that people are having, and we had one last week on our show. Do you think Antonio Brown, whenever he's eligible, will get into the Hall of Fame? My answer would be yes, just because of what he did in the time he was playing. Again, there's a difference between the NFL, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the Baseball Hall of Fame, in that you don't have to look at a morals clause. You don't have to judge a guy by what he does off the field. It's just strictly what he does on the field. And I wish baseball actually had that, too. It would make things a lot easier. But the bottom line is, they don't. So baseball has to go with all this other stuff. But I think Antonio Brown, there are a lot of NFL people who say absolutely not. There are a lot of NFL people who say absolutely yes. What's your take at 412-928-9370? Because I think he should be, again, based strictly on what he did on the playing field. The other question is, will he ever get back into playing in the NFL again? He's trying again. Did an interview with Josina Anderson, and he's trying to say, I'm sorry. And, you know, to me, it's beyond that. He has to show it. He has to show it for a long period of time before I'm ever going to believe it. He's done too much damage to himself. And how many chances do you get? The man orchestrated exits out of Pittsburgh, out of Oakland, even to a degree out of Buffalo before he ever got there, out of New England, and even New Orleans. If you're going to look at it, all those teams, and yet he has no job. I don't know that he can dig himself out of this. I really don't. 412-928-9370 is the number. Back to the lines, we got Mike in Newcastle. Hello, Mike. How are you?
How you doing today, Bob?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. First of all, before I make my comment, I love the new set you have on the nightly sports call. Very cool.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that, we put a lot of time and effort into that, making it more of a kind of a fan cave, fan-friendly kind of thing. But we appreciate it. Thanks for watching.
You guys did a great job on that. But I want to talk about the Starling Marte trade. I was one of the many people who obviously didn't like it because I didn't think they got enough. I mean, I understand what they were trying to con us into believe they're going for. They're going and we're adding more high-end talent to the system. But the problem is them guys are too far away from the major leagues right now. You don't know what they're going to become. You don't even know if they're going to make the major leagues. And, okay, they're going to come back and say, well, nobody would really give us what we wanted to. Well, if nobody really gives you what you want to, just take the guy, let the guy get walked to free agency and leave. I understand teams are so more protective of their top-end prospects right now because of the insane salaries in baseball right now. But you can't just give good players away just because teams want them and they won't give you what you want back. That's not how it works. Just let the guy ride the free agency. I remember I was listening to a radio interview with Jack Sorensen. He made a very good point. Pirates made the Gerrit Cole trade, they got like a bunch of guys who are ready to play Major League Baseball, but none of them really stars like him. So that wasn't a good trade. But then,
right, I wouldn't have made that trade based on that. Then that's what I was saying all along. I don't find the need to do it just to do it. But that seems to be the trend with these guys. But go ahead.
Yeah, but then you also needed an ace, so then you traded two really good players for Chris Archer, and that didn't work out. So sometimes you got to really be careful. I'm not a huge fan of trading because, with small guys, yeah, but with big guys, you can get burned very easily. And the Pirates tend not to do great in trades, more so lately, in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, again, I think they're operating from a disadvantage. When you know and people know they're looking to dump guys and trade guys, then you're typically not going to get as much. With Starling Marte, there's still 2 years left on a contract. I heard Ben Charrington say he wanted to do it so he can give him, you know, opportunity to join a team now, whatever. But that's not, to me, in the best interest of the Pirates. We will find out. I mean, he may be spot on, and we may say that trade turned out to be great. Because remember when Andrew McCutchen was traded, everybody wondered about the return. Well, Brian Reynolds turned out to be a pretty good return, and they were going to make that trade. So we'll see. But to your point, this is 3 to 4 years down the road. By then, likely Josh Bell will not be here. That may even happen this year for all we knew. I don't know. By then, a guy even like Brian Reynolds, if he continues to play extremely well, you're 4 years down the road, you're knocking on the door of potential free agency too. So there's too much in between. I'm just looking for year to year. The only goal, if I'm a fan, that I want for any team that I would follow is that you have a chance to compete every single year. And in baseball, that just doesn't happen.